Good morning, and along with Charlie, I too want to welcome everyone here, and I thank all of you for being here on this another beautiful Lord's Day morning. And the Apostle Paul was talking to the Galatians, warning them about false teachers. He asked them, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Well, this morning, I don't want to become your enemy, but I am going to tell you the truth. And I personally don't want to offend anyone, but I'm going to tell you what I think, and I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The title of our lesson is, "Will Good People of All Churches Be Saved?" First of all, I want to talk about a man that died this week on Wednesday of this week, February 21st, 2018. Billy Graham died at the age of 99. People from all over the world are mourning his death as a great man of God. It is said that he personally preached to over 250 million people during his time. But what did he preach? Well, he preached that the only thing one must do to be saved is to believe in Christ. And one news commentator said he preached only John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And brethren, there is no one on this earth that believes more in John 3:16 than I do. But let's not stop there. Let's not do like Billy Graham did. Let's not stop there. Let's preach all of the New Testament. And Billy Graham preached that baptism was not necessary for salvation. But we're going to preach Mark 16:16. Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Let's preach what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38 when he told the multitude what to do to be saved. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Let's preach what Peter preached to the Gentiles when he converted Cornelius, the first Gentile to be converted to Christ. And he commanded, he didn't suggest, he didn't ask, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, Acts 10 and verse 48. We're going to preach what Paul preached to the Romans in Romans 6 verses 3 through 5 when he said, "Know ye not that so many of us as been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection." We shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Brethren and friends, we're going to preach to what Paul preached to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, which says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made into one Spirit." I'm going to preach like Peter did. 1 Peter 3, verse 21, and he says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Baptism is taught in the New Testament at least 25 times. So why did Billy Graham not preach it? He never mentioned it. He just said it's not necessary for salvation. And that's what the Baptist Church today preaches. It's always too sad to hear of anyone dying. But it is terribly sad to hear of one who preaches that one church is as good as another, or that church membership is not necessary, or that faith only saves, when Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church," his church, one church, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus said, "It is my church," not some 20,000 different denominations. It's particularly sad that Billy Graham preached to such false doctrine when the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 7 through 9, he said, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which have been we have preached unto you, let him be accursed," he said. Then he doubles down on it. He says, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Paul was so adamant that we understand that the preaching of false doctrine would send you to hell that he repeated himself for our benefit, the only place in the New Testament where he doubled down, so to speak. It's also sad to hear of anyone who calls himself Reverend. That's what they call Billy Graham. That's what he called himself, the Reverend Billy Graham. Well, brethren and friends, let me tell you this. He, Psalms 111 verse 9 says, "He," and that's God, "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." This is the only place in the Bible that the word reverend is used, and it is used in praise to God Almighty in heaven and not to Billy Graham. There are plenty of other things we could say about Billy Graham, but now I want to get on with our sermon this morning entitled, "Will Good People of All Churches Be Saved?" I do ask you to open your Bibles and follow along. So again, the question I put before you this morning is, will the good people of all churches be saved? This is a question that is met almost every corner. The average person is quite puzzled and at a loss to explain the situation of those who are honest, yet belonging to different religious bodies, believing different doctrines, and following different practices in a religious way. The least embarrassing way out, if a person does not have to face the Bible for an answer, is to just say, "Yeah, all good people of all religious bodies will be saved, regardless of their religious affiliation." That's the easy way out. That is the easy way out. That's what the Baptist preacher at Little Flock Baptist Church told me personally. And Billy Graham preaches this for years, has preached it for years. Let us face this. We need to face this question honestly and fairly, in the light of divine revelation. Apart from the Bible, no one can know who is saved now or will be saved in the hereafter. First, what we think about the question will not settle it. All Bible questions must be settled by the Bible and not what we think. Secondly, neither can it be settled by our feelings. Yet many depend wholly on their feelings for their religious practices and position. Third, what our grandparents taught us in the past or how they feel now will not give us a safe answer. And fourth, the creeds and the conferences of men cannot settle the question. Fifth, then whom can we go to? Where can we go? Where can we turn and find an answer that's safe and sound? What a person must do to be saved, to which church a person must belong to please the Lord, what a person must practice in order to please the Lord, and if good people in any religious body can be saved, this question and the answers to this question must all be determined from what the Bible teaches. Then how are we to be judged? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 12 with me, please. Familiar passage. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Let's listen to the words of our Lord Jesus. He said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words," that's the Bible, "hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The Bible, the Scriptures, is what's going to judge us all, brethren, in the last days. If that's not enough, turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 and let's read verse 12. Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, Again, that's the Bible. So, brethren and friends, let's turn to God's Word for an answer. Meanwhile, laying aside our personal ideas with a willingness to be led by God's Word. We cannot arrive at the correct answer to this question unless we are willing to accept some fundamental points which are clearly taught in the Bible. First of all, men must do God's will to be saved. That's just that simple. That's the first thing men must do. We must do God's will to be saved. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and verse 21. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." But listen now. "But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he that does the will of the Father, that's who's going to be saved." If the denominational world would understand Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, then there would not be any denominations. The Lord's prayer would be answered, that there only be one. Now in that same chapter, let's look at verses 24 through 27, where Jesus gives the parable of the two builders. Verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, and shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Obedience, brethren. Obedience. Here's what we see, the word obedience all the way through the Scripture. He who hears and does the words of Christ is building on the rock. And he who does not obey Christ is building on sand. Obedience, obedience. Now turn to Matthew, the 17th chapter. God's will for today's people is revealed by Christ. We're commanded to hear him, as we read in Matthew 17 and verse 5, where the Bible says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Christ chose, he trained, and he qualified 12 apostles who were sent the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth, and binding and loosing on earth the things that are now bound or loosed in heaven. Come with me to John 16. John chapter 16. John 16, our Lord said, in beginning in verse 13, he said, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth," that's the Holy Spirit, "howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." I want you to turn back now to Matthew, the 16th chapter. I want you to look with me at Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus said in verse 19, he said, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Since men must do God's will to be saved, and since only those who do His will have a promise of entrance into the kingdom, a number of inevitable conclusions follow. First of all, men cannot be saved merely just because they're good. We know a lot of good men. It was mentioned this morning about a good man who's going to have a serious operation tomorrow. He's a good man, but he's not saved. He's not a Christian. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, he said, "Surely there is not a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Paul told the Romans that there is none righteous, no, not one, in Romans 3 and verse 10. And again, Paul said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. Hence, the major premise that the good people of all churches will be saved breaks down when it's tested by the Bible. If men can be saved on their own goodness, then our Lord Jesus Christ died in vain. Jesus prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass. What happened? It did not pass. Therefore, it was not possible for God to save the world without the death and suffering, both mental and physical, of Jesus. Now, since we cannot be saved by our own righteousness, we must submit to the righteousness of God. David said in Psalms 119 and verse 172, he says, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Turn to Acts chapter 10 with me. Acts chapter 10. You may remember as Peter began his sermon to Cornelius in his house, he said in verse 34, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. Cornelius was a good man morally. But he was told to send for Peter, who would tell him words whereby he and his house might be saved. Now look at Acts 11 and verse 4, right over, one chapter over. The Bible says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? That's what they told him. That's what they told Cornelius. Now go back to Acts 10 and verse 48. Before Peter concluded his message, he commanded. He didn't suggest or whatever. He didn't ask him. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 48, the passage says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Therefore, we can conclude that baptism is part of the righteousness, one of the commandments to do which men must submit to before God will accept them. And it takes more than faith to be saved. Some may be ready to admit that a person cannot be saved on his own goodness, but if you do that, you already admit your major premise is false. But then some insist that all who believe in Christ as their Savior, regardless of church affiliation, will be saved, and that is what Billy Graham taught for years and years and years. Let's turn to John chapter 1. Let's see if what he taught is right. In John chapter 1, we see that the believer has the right or the power to become a child of God. John wrote in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his people received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hence, a person is not a child of God merely because he believes, brethren. I hope you see that. And that is what Billy Graham preached to 250 million people during his lifetime. We also read that many believed on Christ, but they believed him to be Savior, and that they believed him to be Savior of the world. They believed in that he was the Son of God, but they wouldn't confess him. Well, why not? We'll turn to John chapter 12. The Apostle John wrote in verse 42 of John 12, he said, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They believed, but they didn't confess, but the fear that they be put out of the synagogue. So I asked you, were they saved? Well, certainly not. They not only will not be saved, but will be denied by Christ at the last day. How do I know this? Well, I know it because the Bible tells me in Matthew 10 and verse 33. Look with me. If you deny Christ on this earth, He's going to deny you on Judgment Day. Verse 33 of Matthew 10. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now no one can come to Christ unless he's lost. Jesus said, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost in Luke 19:10. No one can come to Christ unless he is a believer. Remember John 12 we read earlier? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Remember reading that? Hence, lost, penitent believers are those who are fit subjects to become children of God. No one can accept Christ as a personal Savior by faith only, which Billy Graham taught. It takes both faith and baptism. Come with me to Mark 16:16. This is a familiar passage. I know all of us have memorized it, but let's read it anyway. Mark 16 and verse 16. Now Jesus said, now listen, brethren and friends, this is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, speaking. This is not an apostle. It's not an inspired writer. It's not me. It's not Brother Bill here. It's not any man, but it is our Lord Jesus. He said in verse 16 of Mark 16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Makes me wonder why at least 18 million Baptists say baptism is not essential to salvation. Can't believe it. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Remember what Peter told the multitude on the day of Pentecost after preaching the first gospel sermon when he asked them, brethren, in verse 37, he said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Remember that? Do you remember Peter's answer? Well, let's look at verse 38. You got to remember now, Peter had the privilege of being the first in the whole world, and in the whole world at that time, to announce the terms of admission into the kingdom of heaven. And this is what he told the multitude in Acts 2 and verse 38. He says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 29 simple, plain words were told what one must do to be saved and to enter the kingdom of heaven. How simple and how plain God's plan of salvation is. Billy Graham has never quoted this passage to the best of my knowledge. The third point we need to make, it takes more than being religious to be saved. I want you to turn back to Matthew the 7th chapter. We read verse 21 earlier. Now I want to read verses 22 and 23 of Matthew chapter 7. Remember, this is our Lord Jesus speaking. He said, Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, brethren and friends, we learn from this passage that many who are religious will be lost. Many who are religious enough to pray and work will be lost. It takes more than prayer to be saved. It takes more than just working in some church. The will of God must be done. To reject the doctrine of Christ and teach some other doctrine is evil. And those who are guilty are evil workers. A person does not have to be wicked or immoral to be guilty of iniquity. Those who have been religiously wrong will be turned away at the judgment as workers of iniquity. Next point. It takes more than just being honest and sincere to be saved. The Apostle Paul said he lived in all good conscience, as seen in Acts 23 and verse 1. Yet he at one time was a violent persecutor of the church. He said that he verily thought he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. He was honest, but he was honestly wrong. A person today may be in that same position, honest, but honestly wrong. But there is one big difference in today than in Paul's time. We have the written word of God. There is no reason to be wrong if you will study the Bible. Study, study, study the Bible. Study it. It's such the greatest book that ever has been written or ever will be written. Therefore, brethren and friends, it takes more than being honest and sincere to be saved. The psalmist said in Psalm 16 and verse 25, he said, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." It might seem right to man, but the way at the end is ways of death. That's what all denominations are headed for. A person better not rest his eternal destiny on what seems right. Paul commands that we prove all things, and he says, "Hold fast to that which is good." Jesus said that those who are to enter the kingdom are those who do God's will, not just good morally or actively religious in some religion or just honest in convictions. And brethren and friends, does that remind you of Billy Graham? It does me. We better study the Bible. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, and we better learn and understand it. We can't understand it. Some people say, "Oh, we can't understand the Bible." Paul says we can understand it in Ephesians 5:7, and do God's will. We need to do God's will. Matthew 7 and verse 21 we read earlier. Some think that the ignorance can save you. Well, ignorance cannot save. Some think that if a person just does the best that he knows, he'll be saved. Not true. God today does not overlook the ignorance as he did in the ages of the past. Look with me, if you will, at Acts the 17th chapter. I'm going to prove this to you. Acts 17. We'll read verses 30 and 31. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." Ignorance won't get it anymore. Won't get it. Christ was crucified through ignorance. We see that in Acts 3:17. But the ones who did it were guilty nevertheless. We see that also in Acts 22, chapter 2 and verse 22 and 36. Paul charged the Jews of his day of being ignorant of God's righteousness. Turn with me to Romans 10 now and verse 3. Paul told the Romans in verse chapter 10 and verse 3, he says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." How clear. One must know and obey the truth to be made free from sin. The gospel must be preached. The gospel must be obeyed. Obedience, obedience. There is no promise that a person can be saved by just doing the best that he knows how. He must know and do God's will to be saved. It's just that simple, friends. He must know and do God's will to be saved. Again, we need to study our Bibles. And if there's anyone here who has trouble studying by yourself, let any of the men know here, or let me know, and we'll set up a study at your home, or our home, or wherever. Brethren and friends, we now know that those who do the will of God will be saved. Just that simple. But one cannot do God's will, regardless of how sincere he may be, and in a religious body not found in the revealed will of God that teaches doctrine contrary to his will and worship contrary to divine revelation. That's, again, what Billy Graham taught. That's what all denominations, every one of them, teach. False doctrine. Therefore, the good people of all churches will not be saved. This conclusion is based upon the premise laid down by Christ and on the fact that the Bible is the final and complete revelation of God's will to man. There is no promise in the Bible that good people of all churches will be saved. No one should teach that which is not revealed in the Bible. Therefore, no one has Bible authority to teach such doctrine. If God, in His mercy, sees fit to accept those who have not done His will, that is His business. But no one can have a written hope or assurance of acceptance in disobedience. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, very familiar passage. Christ has only promised to save the obedient. Verse 9 of Hebrews 5. And being made perfect, He, that's Jesus, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey Him. Who's going to go to heaven? All that obey Him. That's who. No one can obey Christ by entering in a religious body or church that Jesus did not build, or that wears an unscriptural name, or teaches doctrine contrary to the Bible, and worships contrary to divine revelation for Christians as set forth in the New Testament. And Billy Graham did this for years and years and years and years. Therefore, the good people of all churches will not be saved. Why? Because they're good? No. Because they have not obeyed Christ. That's why. And it hurts me to say this, because I have in our immediate family and denominations, and know they're not going to be saved. Why? Because they won't listen. But I tell you what, they listen to Billy Graham. They love that man. They say he's the greatest. So, brethren and friends, that brings us to our last point. No one can do God's will, obey Christ, and fulfill His religious duties except in the church of Christ. Christ built only one church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. And it is His spiritual body. Look with me real quickly, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Familiar passage again. Paul said in Ephesians 1, verse 22. He's talking about our Lord Jesus. He said, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And he goes on to say in Colossians 1:18, He is the head over His body, His church. The church of Christ, the church He built. That's the only church He built, one church. He built no other church. And He is the head over no other church. Christ's church did not when established, nor does it now, constitute a multitude of different denominations wearing different names and believing and teaching different creeds. All other religious bodies either add to or take away from divine revelation. They fall short in their doctrine of how to be saved, or they corrupt their worship by innovations, or they fail to maintain the scriptural pattern of a congregational independence. Nearly all religious bodies teach that a sinner is saved by faith only, without and before baptism in water for the remission of sins. However, As we read earlier, Peter declared in Acts 2:38, he told the multitude and asked men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So since this is a positive, divine command, not a suggestion, it's a divine command that stands between a sinner and his salvation. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized, in Mark 16:16, we read earlier, the majority of religious people, though honest, have not done the things that Jesus demands must be done to be saved. I have never heard Billy Graham quote Acts 2:38. Mark 16:16, Romans 6:3-4, you name it. I want to turn with me to one last passage. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. And let's read verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul told the Romans in verse 3 of Romans 3. Romans chapter 6, rather, verse 3. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also in the likeness of his resurrection. If you don't understand that, I don't know what to tell you. So, brethren and friends, it is definitely taught in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, that we're baptized into the death of Christ. It is here that we reach the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. We are at this point made free from sin. And Paul here declares that we must obey from the heart, which includes the understanding, the emotions, and the will. That's what the heart does. We must understand that form of doctrine. In verse 18 of Romans 6, he says, and being then, when we do all this, he said, and then, made free from sin. And being then made free from sin. And finally, brethren and friends, most religious bodies will not bind on their members a name that is, will bind on their members a name that is not found anywhere in the Bible. Therefore, we confidently affirm that the Church of Christ is the only religious body in which a person can be scripturally baptized, be a Christian and a Christian only, worship and serve God in harmony with divine revelation without addition or subtraction. And I don't want anyone to say to me on Judgment Day, Jerry, you never told me what I need to do to be saved. But I'm going to try to tell you right now what you need to do to be saved. I'm going to tell you. The alien sinner or the unsaved person must first hear the gospel. The gospel is explained as being the death of Christ for man's sin and burial, his burial and his resurrection. These are the great facts of the gospel. And they establish the great truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that's what I tried to prove this morning. Or I did prove. Then that sinner must believe the gospel that he's heard. Then that unsaved person must confess his faith in Christ. He must confess that he believes Jesus is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8. Then that person must be baptized for the remission of their sins, as we read a couple of times already in Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism is a burial in the body, of the body in water, and a resurrection to walk in newness of life. And when the sinner obeys or meets these conditions of pardon, he is thus recognizing Christ as his sacrifice for sins and accepting him as his Savior from sin. So I ask you, my dear friend, can there be any questions as to what you must do to be saved? Is there any questions that you need to be answered as to what you need to do to be saved? and live righteously and go to heaven. I hope you take this sermon with you. And I pray right now, if there's any here this morning who is not a Christian, and you know who you are, I beg you to submit this morning to King Jesus. Confess Him as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. Repent of your sins. And then be buried, immersed in water, for the remission of your sins. And I tell you, all time, remembering, all this time remembering, that if you miss heaven, you have missed everything. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all. And if you've been an unfaithful Christian in any way, you too need to repent to God and come forward. Let us pray with you and pray for you this very morning. And you too then will be on that road that leads to heaven. Can we help anybody? If we can in any way, come forward now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.